everyone for sticking through to the end. So I'm going to talk about what, when I started this experiment, was called social media mining, and what has now been rebranded as social media listening. As all of the sort of talk around social media is about how it shouldn't be about you, it should be about you listening or you hearing what other people are saying, although that may not actually be the reality. It's sort of morphed into this idea of social listening, and it's fascinating the level of data that is out there that people report about themselves, about their health, about their environment. And this is a little experiment into how we can harness some of that data and actually try to get some use out of it. And I tried specifically to see if I could get similar insights from really cheap tools, cheap and or free tools, and some tools that have now become expensive, in order to see if we could save on qualitative research, which was costing us quite a lot, because we want to always be connected to what people are doing. So this is kind of, you know, terrifying, because this is about health, and I think since these statistics were published, they've probably even grown. So people are giving and getting advice about health through social media constantly, and they're doing it peer-to-peer, right? They're not getting advice from physicians or clinicians, and most of the time they're getting it from friends and family or from random people on the internet. Yay. It's a lot of people. So this is pre NSA Edward Snowden results from a survey. I don't know how people would feel about it now, but people definitely in this survey thought that if their health could be improved, if they could be getting personalized health information through social media and help, and if social media could help them connect with their physician or their provider or their electronic health record, for instance, that that would be really valuable. That maybe even some self-reported data, maybe they were taking photos of what they ate and tweeting it, or maybe they were participating in one of the sort of Twitter-like programs where you can crowdsource the number of calories in your lunch. That might be connected to their health record or somehow warehouse, but that might actually be valuable. So we also asked, or this survey also asked about, well, if you were going to be talking with your physician or your provider using social media, what would you expect? And people have really high expectations, right? 70% of people thought that they would get a response within a day, and I don't know that any provider's office would really want to be doing this, and a lot of people would want a response within hours, you know, sort of the response that you would get to a text message, nearly immediate, and much more immediate than anything traditional, like an email or a phone call. So we tried this experiment for the California Poison Control System, which is the largest provider of poison control services in the country. It's that 800 number that you can call anywhere in the country. It's the same phone number. If you or anybody has been poisoned or exposed to anything toxic or hazardous, that one phone number connects you to a local poison control center. So you could be anywhere in the country, and 24/7 you will get a pharmacist or a nurse or a poison information provider at one of these poison control centers. It's an amazing service, but it has a brand identity problem. Not many people know about it. Parents who are the primary users even don't really know that much about it. It sounds awful, poison control. Try saying that in Spanish or in another language. It gets even worse and really difficult to explain. So it's got an image problem, which is why we started looking at social media to find out how people were talking about their experience around poison control, or if they were talking about it at all, if we were even anywhere on people's cognitive maps. But in the sort of world of poison control, you know, poison exposure is one of the leading causes of childhood injury. It used to be number three, and now it's number two. So there are about 4 million unintentional exposures of children under the age of five annually. It's a lot of stuff. And this is a free service in California. where I am, you know, most of the people that call us don't have insurance and don't have insurance yet, let's say, and don't really have access to a lot of medical information, and they can be on the phone with a toxicologist at 3 o'clock in the morning to help them through a particular issue. So it's an amazing resource, but very low brand awareness, and we wanted to find out what people were saying about us. We wanted to find out, you know, we always want to know how we can connect to people, how do we fit into people's lives, or even to actually find out whether or not we fit into people's lives. You know, maybe people don't need poison control, and that's also something that we would need to hear. And what they think of us, what is the sort of, to gauge the brand by using social media, and to see whether there were any potential opportunities, if we could insert ourselves into the conversation, if people were saying things that we hadn't heard or that they wouldn't say to us that would affect how we brand ourselves, how we structure our services, and sort of what we say to people and what we do. So big tie-in with our marketing. So at the time that I did this, there were a lot of free tools. There's still some really good free tools, but things have gotten much more expensive. However, what I did was take advantage of the free trial from two really big social listening companies, Lithium, which used to be called Scout Labs in San Francisco and started out as a small company, and Radiant 6, which was just bought by Salesforce a year or a year and a half ago. But most of these companies will give you at least a 2-week, some a 30-day free trial, and you can get a ton of data in that amount of time. You can really get a picture of what it's like. So I used both of these services as well as some of the free services, and I put in different search terms. So you know how some of you may be doing this already in Twitter or even in Google Analytics, where you put in certain search terms and then you get back whatever is online with those search terms. So it's not really different from that in the sort of search capacity. What it does do is mine for sentiment, so which is really interesting. It looks at the words associated with the topic in that post, and that could be Twitter or a blog or a forum or the traditional web. It can be an article. And some services are able to index Facebook, but not everything. Facebook is still sort of a gilded cage. And then it'll assign a value to those words, and it'll show you whether that post will then skew negative or positive. And then you can see how your brand, your product, your program, your organization, your topic is being viewed by people across social media. So pretty extraordinary. So in the snippet of time that I'm talking about, it looked through this number of social media pieces, so blogs, comments, discussions, and Twitter feeds. Not Facebook. We excluded Facebook, and at the time I think we did it because you couldn't successfully mine for Facebook with either Radiant 6 or Lithium, which now Radiant 6 you can. So as I said, a lot of great information and a lot of just nonsense. And we all know there's a lot of nonsense on social media. You know, there's people talking about the tuna sandwich that they ate for lunch. But there's also gold in there. And these platforms allow you to then sort of filter and discount things that do not make sense or are not relevant. So, for instance, there's some Lady Gaga lyrics about controlling your poison, which I think every 19-year-old girl on Twitter has probably posted with some photo of herself. Just tons and tons of this. And there's also a band called The Poison Control Center, which for us, a Poison Control Center was a little bit of a problem. So you can discount that information. You know, we can filter it out really easily. The other funny thing was that, you know, the TV show The Office did some lyrics and had a very popular episode about if you're bitten by a spider, you know, check that poison control is covered by your provider, which sort of made the mention of poison control skyrocket on social media, but it wasn't because we were doing great things and, you know, saving kids' lives. But fortunately, these tools allow you to kind of not look at that and just look at what's important. So this is a snapshot of my Radiant 6 dashboard. And it gives you sort of the up and down, the kind of cross-section of social media. And then The one on the right is you can drill down very specifically. I mean, you can drill down to an individual post. It will lead you back to where that was said. So if you want to say something in return, if you want to respond, or if you want to post something, or if you just want to keep track of it, it'll allow you to do that. I mean, maybe there's one very vocal people or one group of people that are super vocal. We found through this experiment that mommy bloggers, mom bloggers, parent bloggers, we're talking about poison control. So for us, that was a really interesting piece of information about who we could connect with, because these folks have really wide readership, tens of thousands of people. So a great way for us to sort of get our message out there. This is the sentiment trend analysis on Scout Labs. Excuse me. And it can show, see how it sort of goes up and down, and sometimes it goes up and down. But again, you can drill down into that specific moment if there was something really negative or something really positive. So we were able to track positive sentiment back to certain articles. You know, when a traditional newspaper said something about poison control and had our phone number, there was a little bit of a positive spike. We were also able to look at some of the things that we were doing in terms of outreach. If we try to do a specific event or a campaign, we could also look to see if it registered at all on social media. And what we found that was incredibly worthwhile for us was this hashtag, ParentFail. So the majority of people on social media, and particularly on Twitter, who were talking about the Poison Control Center, a Poison Control Center, not the band, were using this hashtag. So fascinating piece of information for us. We had spent previously over $100,000 on qualitative and quantitative research, which is very valuable in itself, but you know, when you don't have that money, that was a kind of miracle grant that we got. This is a fantastic piece of information. So with these social listening platforms, we were able to drill down and start looking at these posts. And what we found was that when people talked about their experience of the Poison Control Center, it was overwhelmingly positive. That sentiment was very good. They helped me. They kept me calm. It was great. You know, all positive. However, having to call Poison Control was viewed as negative, was viewed as a failure if you were a parent, because you let this happen and you had to call Poison Control, you were a failure. So that allowed us to sort of start thinking about how can we reframe the conversation to say, you're not a failure, you're a hero, you did exactly what you're supposed to do. I mean, kids learn by sticking stuff in their mouths. You're not a bad parent at all. You're a good parent because you knew what to do, theoretically, by calling Poison Control. So when we kind of compared the two, that nugget was exactly the same key piece of information we got through the qualitative, was that the need to have called, the fact that you allowed something to happen was awful for parents. It was really nerve-wracking. It was stressful, and that can help shape our message. There are little differences. You know, qualitative is still fantastic. We still do it. We try to do it a little more on the cheap. But it's definitely made for getting to sort of the why. You know, why do you think this? And that can be very difficult to get to through the social media listening, because it's just out there. Unless you start engaging in a conversation, which clearly we didn't want to be that deep into it. But one of the results of our experiment is that we now monitor things really frequently. And if we do have somebody say, and this will happen really often, they will post, a parent will post something on Twitter, my three-year-old just drank some bleach, just ate some fill-in-the-blank. Any advice? Yeah. Yes, our advice is, here's the phone number for Poison Control. Call now. Operators are standing by. You know, so it's really kind of helped us be more connected to our audience. So the qualitative is also really sort of good for trends. These social media is amazing as a sentinel. For instance, I live in San Francisco, and if I think there's been an earthquake, I go to Twitter. right? Because that's where people are, you know. And I'm not alone in this. I mean, the earthquake people monitor Twitter. The CDC monitors the word flu on social media. So it's certainly out there, and you can use it as an interesting sentinel. And you can really identify the influencers. You can find the people that are talking about your topic and that have really sort of found their passion for it. And you can connect with them, and they can help you. They can help you get your message out. And in my experiment, both were equally unscientific because they still rely on people telling you stuff about themselves that, you know, isn't always, I don't know, people don't always remember things very accurately. So some great tools, Radian 6 and Lithium are spectacular, really thorough, expensive, but free trials. And then everything else underneath is either free or freemium. So you can, and they all have pluses and minuses, and you sort of have to take a look and see what exactly it is that you're looking for. And I'll show you just a few other things and how they look. Hootsuite is also very, very good for mining, for looking for all sorts of information, and it can help you manage your social media presence, especially if you're managing multiple accounts. It can help you look across topics. It can help you do things like program posts, you know, so you can program things for a week at a time. And a lot of, most of it is free. There is an enterprise level service, which is not free and much more robust, but the free stuff is really good. Social Mention is pretty fantastic and free, and you can get a lot of information. It'll help you also sort of drill down, and it'll do some level of sentiment and analysis. It seems more like a suggestion and not as solid as the algorithms that Radian 6 or Scout Labs have worked out. Addictomatic is another free platform with a ton of information. I mean, sometimes the challenge is actually the wealth of information that you get and trying to figure out what to actually do. Making it really actionable on the part of the organization can be challenging. I mean, we spend a long time thinking about how we would react to this information. And this is just a reminder. Some of these social listening platforms do look at Facebook, but Facebook is also sort of a closed system or a gilded cage. However, they have, over the last year and a half, added really interesting ways to export data about your page as .csv files that you can then run all sorts of interesting analytics on and see the kind of traffic patterns and conversational patterns on your Facebook page. So, happy to take any questions about anything mobile or social, and thank you so much for listening.